Welcome to JK Not Really.
Season 3, episode 3.
Three and three.
3-3. It's a good sign.
That it is. Or it could be bad too, right?
No, I think
No,
if
we.
we get six,
Yeah, it's 6-6.
that's like, and I think it's like 3 sixes is like the devil or something.
Ah, well, okay, never mind. We're,
About
it's
three.
good.
Maybe it is three. I don't know.
Well, let's just say we're good.
Okay.
3-3 is good.
What's new with you?
Well, there has been some major life updates and changes because I'm pregnant.
Wild, wild times.
I know it's still hard to wrap my head around that I'm carrying life and that Steve and I created life together.
Yeah, I mean, right before this episode, you were like, oh my gosh, should we take a shot? It's like, yeah, go grab your water.
Yeah, that's what I need to do. Like, I'm trying to embrace it every single day and like feel the bump, take the photos, but it's so hard to imagine what life is about to be like because I never experienced life as a mother before.
Yeah, I mean, like everyone says, like you can prepare as much as you can, but you're never really truly ready because they say like life as you know it is over. Like life is, I always say like when people say, oh, like good luck, like once you have a kid, your life's over. I like to be like, well, life as you know it.
Correct, because that's absolutely true. And Steven and I put an emphasis on like we still want to continue the life that we have right now and just have our baby with us. Like we still want to travel, we still want to go to concerts, and of course it's going to be different, but we don't want to put our life on pause just because we have a little one. We want them to join our life.
Yeah, and I think setting that intention is really good. Having those conversations are really good. And I also think it's you two are also the type of people where like you're gonna do what's best for you as a unit. Do you know what I mean? Like if it works for you guys and it's what you guys want to do, then that's what you're gonna do.
Yeah, but it has been such a crazy experience before, like just seeing how quickly my body has changed. So I also have a posterior fibroid.
Okay, let's talk about that.
So it's just a mass that just develops in the uterus and it can go in different placements of the uterus, hence mine is posterior, so it's not going to cause like any effect to the baby or anything like that. But with my hormones, it is making this mass that's full of calcium grow. So my doctor literally looked at me during my last appointment and automatically she goes, "Oh, wow, you're big." And then she goes, "It's going to look like you're carrying twins."
Okay.
So
Not the
even like,
words that you probably wanted to hear.
but it was also so validating too, because during my first trimester, I'm just like, Steven, why am I so big already? Like, none of my pants fit me anymore. Like, I feel like I already have a bump. I'm like, is this normal? And it's just like so difficult because I try to compare myself to every other pregnancy, of like females that I know, and everybody is so different and unique that you can't compare yourself.
Yeah, I think the comparison game will win every time.
Yeah.
Like that is a losing game every single time.
Yeah. So it's kind of just like validation. Okay, I'm going to be big. Let's just accept it. How do I embrace it type of deal? But even just like last night, I am in my second trimester and I have like a bump. And there's a girl that I know and she's due next month and she just has like a little baby bump. And it's just like wild to see how different our bodies truly are.
Yeah, it's like a different experience for everyone.
Yeah. But with that experience, I acknowledge like how isolating it can be, but also like how connecting it can be too. 'Cause I've had so many people like that are moms now reach out and just like share their love and advice. And I truly appreciate it. But how isolating it could be in department stores trying to find jeans.
Okay, I was
Yeah.
just about to ask, like, what makes it feel isolating?
I think it's the just topic of pregnancy. Maybe it's because I'm not following certain podcasts or anything like that. Like I feel like it's not talked a lot about our health as females what actually changes. I feel like department stores really don't help with that change as well because everything is online now. Like I'd probably order like 7 to 10 pairs of jeans just to try them on because I couldn't find them anywhere else.
So it's kind of like isolating in the sense of you feel like if it's not through your phone or whatnot, like you don't have access to inclusion. Is that kind of what you mean?
It wasn't easily accessible.
Like outwardly, like I'm gonna do a Target run and check out the maternity section. Like you don't feel like there's a lot of options there.
Correct. Yeah. And also, like during the first trimester, I know a lot of individuals keep this as a secret to themselves because of miscarriage. They don't want to like tell others. They want to just like keep it between themselves and their partner. And it's so isolating that way because I've had so much anxiety and so many questions, and I couldn't lean on anybody except for Steven. And he was so supportive. But I feel like within that first trimester, when you're not telling people, that's when it could be so isolating.
And I was going to ask you about that because obviously I knew pretty early on, like, well, I think I knew, weren't you like 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks? It was like crazy
I think like
early.
5 or like 6 weeks. So yeah, let's like share this little story of your psychic abilities.
Okay, so this like genuinely confirmed that I'm either like a psychic or a witch or both. Because I, well, okay, but also you were doing things that were a little out of character. So let's rewind it a little bit. You know, typically I do get a lot of words of affirmation from you. You know, that's my love language, and your normal is very affirming to me. Like you are always so supportive. You're always telling me, "Oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you. You're doing such a good job." So it that's not abnormal. The quantity and the frequency in which you were giving me words of affirmation was a little suspicious. Like, I think I was like, oh yeah, just like ran to the grocery store. Now I'm just gonna like binge watch TV. And you would send a Bible of like, you are just rocking this stage of your life, and I hope that you treated yourself to something good at the grocery store. You deserve it all. And I was just like, wow, like she's feeling very lovey-dovey to me like recently. And then it was like that for like days.
Was it really like it was that intense?
Casey, go back and look at our text conversation and look at the length in which you're sending me these like so sweet and so prolific, like novels to me. And then look at
Oh.
like what I'm saying. I'm just like, oh yeah, like thanks.
I just woke up tired. I'm just pushing through.
And so that was happening. And I was like, something, or maybe she's just like re feeling really lovey-dovey and misses me and just doesn't want to admit that she like misses me. I don't know what's going on, but like something is off. So that was
Which would
like
have
the,
been like an option too, like definitely.
for sure. We definitely miss being in the same town together. That's a fact. And then, so that was like the first little
Little
detect
sign.
on my radar. And then I was texting you again, and I think I sent you like a picture of like my glass of wine with like the movie that I was watching. And you sent me a selfie of you just like exhausted. And I looked at you in that picture, and I was like, she looks different. Like there's something, I couldn't put my finger on it, but I was like, she looks different and I don't know what it is. And then that night I was like watching my movie. It was like midnight and I literally just had like a thought and I was like, I bet she's pregnant. I was like, I bet you she's pregnant. So I just straight up texted you. I was like, are you pregnant?
Straight up, like I got a text that said, just, are you pregnant?
Yeah. And then I wanted to like punch myself in the face. So I was like, great. Now, if she's not, she's going to be upset. And you know, not to ask people that. And like, you would be upset if it were you. So that I'm just going through like the anxiety cycle
Spiraling now and like apologizing after that.
immediately.
But to add to this story too, so I was debating when to tell you
Right.
because I know
Were you dreading it?
I wasn't dreading it. It was more so of just when is the right timing, because I know you're going through a lot of like medical concerns, and I wanted to give you like grace and space for that and not override what I'm going through.
Totally.
And it was like going back and forth to that, but then also sharing this news because you're my best friend and I want you to be like one of the first people that know this.
Right.
In the same exact night, I was telling Steven that I feel so conflicted on what to do because I want to tell Jack so bad, but I want to respect what she's going through. And then I literally decided that night, I'm going to wake up the next morning and call you. And that morning, I woke up to your text saying, "Are you pregnant?"
It's spooky.
How wild is that?
It's honestly scary. Like, it's like, it is spooky how we are always on the same wavelength like that.
Yeah,
But I was
it
thinking about that. I was like, what? That was like one of my follow-up thoughts. I was like, and if she is, I feel like she doesn't want to tell me fully, because I mean, it's just so our luck to like do a podcast episode of us like kind of struggling in this season. And then weeks later to find out that you're expecting.
Well, what's crazy is we recorded on Sunday. And I found out that Wednesday I was pregnant.
So yeah, I mean, you're
Wild.
literally pregnant while you were while we were recording.
Yeah. And I literally just said, like, I'm stressed, but I'm gonna allow the stress to go. Whatever happens, happens. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's and that's like you genuinely, you make a, what do they say? You make a plan and God laughs. Like, it's
Yeah.
just like you were not in control.
No, and that's one of the hardest things I think for us and for any individual is acknowledging and accepting you're not in control. And how do you go through that then? Wow. But I want you to share what you're going through because we're in like two completely different spaces, but going through so much at the same time.
Right. And it, yeah. So while we're finding out that you're pregnant,
Yeah.
I kind of started experiencing some health issues, like with my women's health cycle, everything. And so I ended up passing what they believe to be either like a uterine or cervical polyp, pretty significantly big. TMI, if you don't like medical stuff, then you should just stop listening now. And luckily I did have the wherewithal, even though that stuff typically makes me so queasy. Like I knew in my gut it wasn't right. So like I did take a picture and whatnot because I was like, I'm not going to be able to describe this to a doctor.
And to actually show a doctor like a visual of what it looked like was
And
probably so helpful.
of course, my mom, who's, been a critical care nurse for almost 50 years, she's like, oh, I just wish you would have kept it.
And put it in your fridge, like
Yeah.
next to your like mayo
Yeah.
and like mustard.
Yes. Which,
Love
like,
Maria. Good for her.
she's like, well, then you could have sent it off for testing. I go, Mom, you're
Yeah.
genuinely lucky I even took a picture. I wanted to, like, faint.
Got it. And just like throw it away, like maybe
Oh,
it didn't happen,
yeah.
dissociate a little bit. Yeah.
It looked like alien-like. I was like, this is, I'm shook. Like, I'm
Oh,
shooketh.
and that it came out of your body. Yeah.
Oh, just, oh, so yeah. So I immediately booked like an appointment with my PCM. And ever since, Andrew and I have been married in my life, I have always been very fortunate to receive great health care. If anything, like an abundance of, like I've always been able to go above and beyond and get above and beyond what I needed. So I've been very fortunate up until this point. I ended up going through. I had to be fully evaluated by my PCM to get a referral to see my gynecologist, which at first, what I was thinking and what I, talking to my sister as well, who's, a nurse practitioner, is like, she's like, it's probably an insurance thing. You're probably just going to go see him. He has to like check a few boxes and then he'll write you the referral. Like sometimes this happens. And I was like, okay, no problem.
Which makes sense, but it's also frustrating as well that you need to go through that hoop
Yeah, it's
just to get a referral.
literally, because I know that I need to see a gynecologist.
Like you don't need to see your
Right.
PCP. Yeah. But
So I went and immediately it was just, I was so dismissed. I was so not heard, not advocated for. I mean, the remarks that I received were insane. And so I showed a picture, and it was a male. But again, my first gynecologist growing up was a male. I've had great experiences with male doctors. But in this instance, this is crazy. I showed the picture of the polyp, and he looked at it and he said, "You know, sometimes during menstrual cycles, women pass blood clots."
That's not a blood clot, mister.
Also, but
Like, are
my
you
first
kidding
thought was,
me?
I wanted to be like, okay, and how many menstrual cycles have you had?
Yeah.
I
But
was
that's
just.
just like so dismissive instead of saying, like, thank you for showing me this. I can understand this is concerning. Let's look further into it. Just.
That was the response. And then so he was like, okay, well, right now you don't qualify for a referral. So we have to do blood work. I'm going to send you to an ultrasound and then you'll get your referral. And I was like, okay. Like, you know, it's summer. It's not like I'm taking time off from work. So I was like, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. It's like kind of out of my hands at this point.
Yes.
So got the blood work, came back mostly normal. There was one high level. And then got the ultrasound, in which during the ultrasound, the tech who was lovely was like, this isn't the right ultrasound to detect polyps. And I was like, okay. And she was like, you should be getting this. And I go, okay, well, can we do that instead? She goes, no, you have to make another appointment to do that. That's a separate appointment. So, all in all, it took me five appointments to get my referral. And at the final stage of this, it took Andrew taking over and like going to bat for me with this guy. And it definitely turned into like a really tense conversation. Thank God he was there, because I genuinely think if, and that's what's also frustrating. It's frustrating that it took my husband taking control of the conversation to eventually get the referral. Like, on one hand, it's like I'm so fortunate that I have a husband that will go to bat for me and will advocate for me and, you know, do whatever he needs to do. On the other hand, it's ex still extremely dismissive of, well, why wasn't my voice enough?
Correct. When you're the one that's going through this concern.
I'm the woman. I'm the one that knows something's not right. I've, you know, had a menstrual cycle for 31 years. Like, now I have, or not 31 years, I wasn't born with it for like 15 years, whatever. Like, can you imagine? I've had it since I was an infant. What an idiot. That was wild. That was a wild comment for me. Like 15 years, and it's not just the polyp anymore. I passed the polyp. My cycles are now completely unpredictable. I'm spotting between periods, and then I started bleeding after exercise.
Like, there are so many signs that something is going on, and for him just to say it's just an irregular period, or you need to get this blood test and do this and this, and then maybe I'll write a referral. Like, it's
Yeah.
literally putting your health like on the line.
And then so after Andrew literally took control of the conversation, I had my last appointment with him and I got my referral. And then I just had it this past week. Of course, my gynecologist was lovely. She was incredible. She looks at all my charts. She's asking me, you know, a million questions because she was so thorough. And she looks at me, she goes, yeah, something is absolutely not right. And we're going to get to the bottom of it. And I was like, oh, like hearing that was the most like validating feeling ever.
Like, such a sense of relief, but I just want to also like emphasize too, this referral process, like, didn't this start in like May?
The end of May.
And now it's like August and
August.
you're finally
And
getting answers.
she, in her professional opinion, decided the best course of action would be a procedure in which I'm going to have to, you know, go under anesthesia. So now I have a surgery consultation. Now that's during the school year. This procedure, like, and also Andrew is away right now. So this procedure, like, it, while yes, I'm so happy things are finally on the right track, this was a delay of care situation because I had months off from work in which this could have already been done by now.
Andrew
And I
could have been
had my
home.
husband here.
Yeah. And I think it's more than valid and okay to hold two emotions at once, to be frustrated, angry, and upset, but also grateful to now that you're getting the care because you can't dismiss any feeling. They're valid.
Right. And so it is kind of like juggling right now. It's like I had to kind of just go through that and just like let the frustration happen and let it out, but also be like, once again, there's nothing, you're doing everything within your control. Like there's nothing further you personally can be doing.
And I think the biggest thing about these situations is acknowledging like you can't control it in that circumstance, but you can control how you respond and react to it.
And so, yeah, it brought up a lot of feelings. Like, I think just as a person, like as a woman, as a wife, I mean, also, oh, I can get emotional thinking about this. Like, it also just, I saw a side to Andrew that, like, I've never seen before.
Like how
And just
protected he
like,
got.
yeah, just like, it was, I know, I'm getting like teary, like, amidst the, like, utter anger that we were both feeling, there was like a little bit of beauty in like watching the person that like you literally made vows to, like in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, hold true to those vows. Like that was one thing, and this is also like the optimist in me always. Like, if there's one thing that like I could take away from this, it was like, like literally seeing your vows in front of you is a very beautiful reminder.
Like, I think it just solidified the relationship yet again, and the love that he has for you, and that you guys are just a unit. And again, it just like makes me like think too, like, what if you married a female and your wife was advocating for you? Would you be dismissed yet again? Like,
Probably in this instance, I would say probably.
It makes me sick just to hear the disservice. And I'm not trying to dismiss what happened to you, but I'm sure you're not the only one. I just want to emphasize too, like, if you're not feeling heard or seen or validated by your provider, you're entitled to get a new one or file a claim against them.
Yeah, and we're doing both. Like I already switched my PCM. I said that. I go, when I do get this referral, this will be the last time I'm seen by this person. I will never see you again. And then we are going through the complaint process because I don't want that to happen to another woman or man or anyone. But like it's, I think it's specifically with my experience, I don't want that to happen to another woman.
And if it's happening to you, it's happening to others as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's hard, it's tedious, but like, do not stop advocating for yourself. There were so many times, with, like I said, 5 appointments over months, and it's just like, oh, here's another hoop to jump through. Here's another hoop. I want it to be like, I'm done. Like, screw it. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. But Andrew would be like, that's not enough. Like, we would say, well, that's not an option because now, like, our process of trying to conceive is on the back burner, which was another kind of weird shift for me. I was like, I can't even think about that if I'm not right.
If you're not okay, that's the first priority, is making sure that your reproductive health is working properly, and then trying to conceive a second.
Right. Like, I need to get myself figured out before I can dedicate the energy to creating life.
Which is probably such a significant shift, like you said, because before it was all about wanting to create life. You're ready for this chapter, you're tracking your ovulation. And now it's just like putting that on pause just to put you like solely first.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah, so moral of the story is don't give up. And if you feel like you're not being heard, you're not. Like, and it's
Point
don't let
blank.
them, because that's what I was like gaslit into thinking that I was overreacting and that I had nothing to be concerned about. And then the second I see the specialist, it's all confirmed that, like, no, like I was right all along. But they're like, it was, I mean, you have plenty of experience of being gaslit. So you probably are like a seasoned veteran. For me, I was like, am I crazy? Like, am I imagining this? And it was, but then I was like, wanted to like slap myself in the face, like, no, you're not imagining this. Look at the picture. Look at the picture.
Right, you start second guessing yourself. So, I mean, gaslighting and lying are two completely separate entities. Gaslighting is a distortion of someone's reality to manipulate, to confuse, whereas lying is truly just being unfaithful.
Right.
Reality is the same, but you're just being unfaithful about that reality. Whereas gaslighting is a whole other process that you start to lose like your sense of self.
I'm sitting in the office as this is happening, and I'm just thinking of you and being like,
She went through this
I
for
was like, no wonder she got a tattoo like 2 weeks after she left. I
that says free.
like, quite literally says free because
Yeah.
I was sitting there and I was like, oh my God, this is what like Casey went through 24 hours, 365, 7 days a week. Like, if I'm experiencing this and I'm struggling as much as I am, like I can only imagine. I was like, this is nuts.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we connected on that part.
Just a little more bonding.
Some trauma bonding a little bit more.
Oh, we're so good at it.
Oh my gosh. And going back to me wanting to tell you and not telling you, I feel like that's why it was so like heavy
For sure.
on me too. But you know what? Throughout this whole process, I'm happy that you're being seen, you're getting clarity, you're getting answers. That obviously, you know that I'm pregnant and you're so supportive with
Oh, yeah.
that journey as well, and that we can just like be on this path of life for one another.
Absolutely. And I totally understand why you were conflicted because if the roles were reversed, I
Yeah.
would be like, I don't want to tell her.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I don't want to tell her. It's gonna upset her. I don't like, I know she wants this. I don't want to take this from her. But then the other party would have been like, well, I can't not tell her. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
that's not an option
So,
either.
no. I mean, I just love our connection. So, the morning I found out I was pregnant, like Steven and I like recorded it. We had like our special moment, yada, yada. We left for work and I'm like, I need to tell Jack. Like, you were the first person I thought
Yeah,
of other than my husband.
because it's just so typical. Because I feel like, and again, I don't know what this says about like our lack of boundaries because we don't really have any. Like I think that's just because we've been there to witness like really raw, vulnerable moments with each other that we really didn't expect. And I think so that's kind of like a natural inclination now that like, oh, I gotta go tell Case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like when you told me, I literally said to myself in my head, I was like, there's probably like 20% of me that's like, oh, like I just wish I was pregnant with her too. But the vast majority of me was just overwhelmingly happy for you. So, like, if you're listening and like you've had that experience and you've been on either end of it, it is okay to have a part of you that feels a little sad while also being over the moon for this person. It's kind of what you said, like, you can hold space for both.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that you said that too, because I think people need to hear that. Like, it's okay to feel a little bit of resentment or sadness, but also be happy too for somebody else.
Yeah, it doesn't make you a bad person or a bad friend or a bad sister or whatever.
Not at all.
It just
Not
makes you
at all.
human. When you want something so bad, that's normal.
Exactly. Yeah. And you also shouldn't feel guilt if you are pregnant and you feel bad about telling a friend that is struggling or someone that did lose a child.
For sure, because if I found out like later, I think I'd be a little salty.
Oh, I know you would have been. Like, I knew that you would know within the first trimester. It's just like, when? And it's like weird because I was like thinking of like my people, like who do I want the first people to know? And you were like one of them.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, I better be.
I mean, it's okay. I freaked out because I thought you posted an announcement on Instagram. Like, we were literally, Steve and I were driving home from a friend's house, and I literally almost made him pull
Oh, is this
over.
the bird feet?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, so
And
this
I
is.
almost like freaked out thinking that you posted on social media before telling me.
We were in Hilton Head and I just took a, it was cute. There were all these little birdies running around and it was their little like footprints in the sand. So I just took a picture of it and I posted it to my story. You freaked out.
Yeah.
You like texted me. You were like, oh my gosh, I literally just made Steven pull over because I thought you were announcing your pregnancy on social media before you told me. And I was like, Casey, those are bird feet.
You
I was like,
know
number one, I would never do that to you. Clearly, now I know to never do that to
Yes, yeah, so you can understand the frustration if I didn't tell you and you noticed on Instagram.
Right. Yeah.
And I
Go
like
ahead.
zoomed in. I'm like, oh yeah, it is like bird feet. They're not like writing in the sand or anything like that.
I remember I showed Andrew my phone a text. He was like, wild take. Just a wild take on that. I was like, that's Casey.
You know what? I'm just manifesting this for you.
I'll take it. I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. I'm meant to go through this process.
Yeah.
And it will inevitably make me healthier because knowledge is power. I'm gonna get put on a great plan with my doctor. And I always think there's no such thing as having too much information about your health.
I completely agree with that. And then also doing whatever feels right for you, like energy wise. If it's manifesting this, I manifested, I did the moon water, like I was like in it. And it just like made me feel good actually just like doing these acts of services too.
I was just gonna say, whatever you worship, whatever you believe in, whatever it is, there is something to be said with just doing some sort of act to release, like to just get it out. Like, you know what I mean? It just feels like you're taking a little bit of control.
Absolutely agree with that. And there's some type of energy too. And I really think that having a belief or having help helps.
For sure. I agree. And one more thing I did want to ask you, like, what is your take on? I mean, because you did tell some people before you were 12 weeks. You
Yes.
didn't announce it, but you did tell some people. And, you know,
Yes.
typically, I think historically and culture-wise, they always say, you know, don't get your hopes up. Don't tell people before 12 weeks. If something happens and you're going to regret it, like, what's your take on that?
I think that's a great question because this was a conversation that Steve and I had, and we were around family. There's no way if I deny a glass of wine, my mom's not going to ask why or coffee. So I already had that coming. And then I also came to the realization if something did happen, I kind of want my people surrounded, and to help Steve and I through this process so they know why I'm low, they know why I'm struggling.
Yeah.
So it just made sense to me just to like let these people know that I trust and then to know if something does happen, they have my back no matter what.
And I think that's what I would probably envision myself doing as well. I understand the point of view of don't tell until after 12 weeks. I get it. Like, and I like your take on it. Like, I think there's something to be said with telling your circle whenever you want to, however early that is, but also waiting longer for like a public announcement. Like, I get that.
And it's different for everybody. I mean, there's so many different resources online, and at the end of every single resources, it's saying share when you want to share.
I think that's powerful.
Yeah. And don't be influenced by like social media and people like posting. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm due within the same month. I need to post now. 'Cause I also felt that too, to a certain degree.
Like a little bit of pressure.
Pressure, or just like I'm showing now, it'll be nice for people to know I'm pregnant and it's not like a stomach full of like pizza and like ice cream.
I think that's also helping you with a little bit of like a little sprinkle of body dysmorphia, like a little bit, yes or no?
Absolutely. But I'll also say this comment too. I had a wedding last night and I wore like a tight little dress. And that was the first time I felt confident in a tight dress because I didn't have to like suck in. I didn't have to like prep for this. to say the least. Like I was just like rocking the bump and I felt
Oh yeah.
so confident. And then other days I'm just like, wow, I'm big.
Yeah. I think it's like the sexiest power move when I just see like a pregnant woman and I like rock in the bump. But I also understand that's like me from an outside perspective. Like, I don't think it's reasonable to say every day that you feel that way.
Yeah. So I think this is something we can definitely talk more about because it's definitely needed.
Yeah. So overall, thanks for joining us for yet another episode. I think like arguably the next few are going to be the most juicy because of just the different seasons that we're in right now.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And thank you for hearing us through our stories. And again, make sure you're advocating for yourself and get the providers that you deserve and need.
And listen to your gut always.
She's always right.
All right, guys, we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.